It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Time for part two of the critically acclaimed, often imitated, never duplicated Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. He, of course, is the star of the show. His name is Evan Silva. Everybody knows him. You should know him. He's a fantasy superstar over at rotoworld.com. Check him out on Twitter, at Evan Silva. I am merely a former NFL offensive lineman, at Ross Tucker, NFL. And we together are presented today by DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy football. Look, one-week fantasy football means no season-long commitments to busts and bench warmers. Never again do you have to be combing the waiver wire because of injuries. Every week is a brand new season. That's what makes it cool. That's what makes it fun. Gives you a shot each and every week. Plus, if you use the code FEAST at DraftKings.com now, you can actually play for free with your first deposit this weekend. Why not? That's Feast, which is perfect for Thanksgiving weekend, to play free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend. Get to DraftKings.com now. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. All right, Arizona, Atlanta. Talk to me about Julio Jones going up against Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. So, there have been a few receivers that have gone up against Patrick Peterson this year. Doug Baldwin had, or he ended up on Doug Baldwin a lot. And Doug Baldwin had like six catches for 60. He went against Mike Evans, and Mike Evans had a ton of targets, needed a ton of targets, but he got out of the game with six catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. He also went up against Brandon Marshall, who had three for 70, and he went up against Kelvin Benjamin, who had two for 73. Julio Jones had a game against Richard Sherman, who would be considered, you know, of Patrick Peterson's ilk. And Julio Jones, Richard Sherman was not on him every single snap, but Julio Jones had a monster game in Seattle. It often ends up that, you know, Richard Sherman will be on him most of the plays, but, you know, guys will get crossed up and there will be plays where Richard Sherman is not on Julio Jones, and Julio Jones can have better opportunities on those plays. Matt Ryan will just go to Julio Jones when he sees that Richard Sherman is not on him. So, yeah, it's something to consider. It's something to be concerned about. The Cardinals on the season have only allowed two opposing wide receivers to go over 75 yards. So the matchup is difficult. We know that. We also know that Julio Jones is awesome. The matchup is difficult for Patrick Peterson as well. I was surprised at the high-scoring projection on this game. The total was over 50 points. I think that this game goes under, and I think that the Falcons have some struggles with their passing game. And we're getting Tevin Coleman back too, so it's going to be a committee in the Falcons' backfield.
Got it. Anything interesting on the Arizona side?
I think that Michael Floyd is a little bit sneaky this week. It looked to me when I was watching last week's game that he got benched late in the game. But Bruce Arians said after the game that he had actually been battling the flu and he just couldn't go anymore. So he was not involved in the five receiver sets late in the game. But he ended up playing the second most snaps behind Fitzgerald in the receiver core. He had a big game a couple weeks ago. I think that we'll see Desmond Trufant run to Larry Fitzgerald in the slot. And Michael Floyd will get opportunities against Robert Alford and Jalen Collins, which is where I think that Michael Floyd can win. you know, J.J. Nelson and John Brown are not guys that you can feel good about right now. I think that Michael Floyd is pretty interesting right now, though, because it looks like his playing time is secure. They need Michael Floyd, man, and they're going to need him this week particularly.
Let's move on to the next game. It's the Bengals and the Ravens. Giovanni Bernard out for the season. A.J. Green out, at least for this game. What does that mean for the rest of the Bengals? And is it time to start talking about James Wright or Rex Burkhead, Mr. Silva?
Tyler Boyd was the primary beneficiary of A.J. Green leaving last week with a torn hamstring. And I think I would expect that to continue into this week. The Ravens are great against tight ends. They've allowed one tight end to go above 50 yards. It was Jordan Reed. He needed 11 yards or 11 targets to get there, and he had 53 yards and no TDs. The only touchdown that they've given up to a tight end went to your boy Seth the Valve. So they play legitimately shut down tight end defense. If I'm a Tyler Eifert owner, I'm not that worried because this is a situation where he should get 8, 9, 10 targets. But there is a possibility that he gets slowed down by this defense. And Tyler Boyd should run a lot of routes in the slot. We saw Jerod Powers get burned up by Eli Rogers a couple weeks ago. I would expect this to be Tyler Boyd's time to shine. In the backfield, Jeremy Hill should be a workhorse the rest of the way. I know there's some buzz about Rex Burkhead. I think it's going to be the Jeremy Hill show. We saw what he could do when he had these full workloads in 2014. You know, with these big backs, when they have, you know, games where they get like 9 to 11 carries, they can never find a rhythm. But when they have games where they can get like 18, 20, 24 carries, you know, they can start to wear down the defense. I mean, I think that that's a real thing. I don't think that that's a narrative, you know. I think that the rhythm is a real thing. And I know that the Ravens have a really good run defense, the only run defense since week one to slow down Zeke Elliott. But Jeremy Hill is in a situation where he probably has a floor of 16 touches and he could get up near 30. If everything goes as planned. So I think that he is a great play in season-long leagues this week, and he has a potential to be a league winner the rest of the way. And I think that he's also interesting in daily fantasy because he has a secure workload. No one will use him because he's facing the Ravens and hasn't been great this year. But, you know, I don't think the Ravens are going to run away with this game scoring 30 points, you know. So Jeremy Hill is in a great, great spot right now.
Jacksonville, Buffalo, Evan. Talk to me about the Bills. Robert Woods banged up and Sheedy McCoy had a thumb procedure but is expected to play. I guess I wonder how much of the load they'll really have him carry or if he'll be used more in specific situations coming off of thumb surgery this week.
Man, don't like to hear that. And as someone who had a lot of LeSean McCoy in daily fantasy last week, and he was rolling early in the game, that was a very frustrating situation. They didn't go back in. I guess he's going to be fine. That's what they're saying. I mean, what limitations do you think there could be, Ross?
Well, I just don't know. You know, I think I'm trying to remember which hand it was. I guess I just don't know that you want to give the guy 25 touches, you know. It just seems to me like Gillis Lee is good enough that maybe you bring in McCoy for specific plays, specific situations, maybe third down, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you don't have him in on third down. I'll be interested to see whether or not they give him a full workload. They might, but I don't know, man. I mean, you know, a surgery on your thumb is a surgery on your thumb. I mean, I know they'll have something wrapped on it and he'll play, but, you know, I thought they're not Shady McCoy, but I thought Gillis Lee, I even thought Jonathan Williams looked decent.
Absolutely, he did. Yeah, I mean, they just have a good running game. It's almost like a plug-and-play running game. The one other situation I want to talk about is Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is not yet activated to the 53-man roster. They did announce that he was going to practice today. the comments from Rex on Monday were that we hope that we can get some plays out of him against the Jaguars. You know, that doesn't sound good to me. And we may hear positive reports all week about Sammy Watkins, but man, I would not want to use him in his first game back. That's asking for like a goose egg. And I'm still skeptical that he's even going to play.
So I think he's going to play. Talking to some people in Buffalo, I think he's going to play. But I don't know what that means in terms of production.
Yeah. And I mean, the Jaguars have a good secondary too. I mean, it's not like he just jumps in there and he's lighting it up. But that's good to hear. I think that if he doesn't play, and you know, you just said he's likely to play, I realize, but if he doesn't play, I think that if you are looking at a Bills pass catcher, Percy Harvin might be the most interesting guy. They have been starting to feed him touches. His snaps were way up last week, and they just really have nothing left. I mean, to the point where, you know, they're in practice this week, and it's conceivable that they are designing a lot of stuff for Percy Harvin, because even if they get Watkins in there, I don't know how much he's going to play, and Robert Woods is out, and the rest of their guys, I mean, Marquise Goodwin is like a 5'8", you know, streak route specialist. And Justin Hunter is a guy that, I mean, they pretty much stopped using him. I mean, they scaled him way back. Brandon Tate is a special teamer. I mean, I bet you that they are drawing up some stuff. Did you get any info on Percy Harvin at all?
No, not really, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, so that's all I got on the Bills.
All right. I like this. I like when we hit the major topics. Tennessee is in Chicago. No Jay Cutler for the Bears, which means Matt Barkley. Zach Miller's out. I mean, I don't even know what to say about the Bears. Is there anything that this significantly impacts from a fantasy perspective?
I would not want to use any of the pass catchers with Barkley. He's horrible. Jordan Howard, you know, he becomes the focal point of the Titans defense, and he's going to be without Kyle Long and Josh Sitton. Josh Sitton left last week's game. I don't think that we're going to see him. Bobby Massey, we'll see if he can make it back from his concussion. I mean, with Jordan Howard, you're just hanging your hat on his volume and hoping that he gets 20 touches. I mean, Jordan Howard is good. He's legit good. He's been so much better. Actually, he had a horrible game in the passing game last week. But overall, he has been much better in the passing game than I thought. And he would be based on what he did in college. And, I mean, he's a good back. This is a game that I think the Bears can surprise people and keep it close. They've played really good defense at home this year. Vic Fangio is just a really good coach. I mean, their defense is very much bend but don't break. And if they do keep it close, even though the offense looks really bad, I think Jordan Howard can end up with a lot of work and a solid fantasy day.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I mean, he's going to get a lot of work. I don't think they have much of a choice.
Right.
The Giants are in Cleveland. Josh McCown gets the start. I feel like this might be the third or fourth time this year where I said to you, hey, Evan, Josh McCown is back in the lineup for the Browns. What does that mean?
I think it's good news for the Browns pass catchers. It would be nice if we had seen Corey Coleman do something since week two. The most notable thing that he's done is get 12 targets last week. But we don't really have a foundation to work from with him. I think Gary Barnage is really interesting this week. And, I mean, Gary Barnage, he's burned me badly 2 weeks so far earlier this season. But I think I'm going to go back to the well with him. The Giants are bad against tight ends. And, I mean, Zach Miller was tearing him up last week before he got hurt. Tyler Eifert had almost 100 yards against him. Lance Kendricks had 7 catches against him. So I like the matchup for Gary Barnidge. He finally caught a touchdown last week. It was delivered by Josh McCown. He's on the field every snap. He ran a season high 43 pass routes last week. With these Cleveland games, we got to keep an eye on the weather. But I think Gary Barnidge is my favorite play. And it's going to be Janoris Jenkins probably running with Terrell Pryor. And a lot of opportunities in the middle of the field for Gary Barnidge.
Give me one thing for the Giants offensively against the Browns.
Well, it's just, it's like the best possible matchup for almost everyone. Every time that you face the Browns, keep an eye on the weather. The guy who has really come forward, and he did this last year too, late in the season, Rashad Jennings. Last week he was 70% of the snaps, 26 touches, and he's just been in a steady upward trajectory since dealing with some injury situation, like this weird thumb injury early in the year. I mean, he's obviously healthy now. I think he had like 6 targets last week. He's in a really good spot right now. The Browns are not good against the run anymore. They were okay early in the year. They're not anymore. They give up the most rushing attempts per game in the AFC. So Rashad Jennings is a guy that you can count on at this point.
I like it. We'll keep it moving. How about San Diego and Houston? I'm curious to know what you think the effect is of Houston playing Monday night in Mexico City. I mean, maybe that's the question I should answer, which is,
yeah.
I think that there will be some impact of that. You play in that, elevation, short
those guys
week.
Were dead out there, Ross.
Yeah, they couldn't run on that in the fourth quarter. They certainly couldn't run like the Raiders skill guys could run. I will say this, though, Evan. I thought that was – I mean – the Texans ran the ball pretty darn well with Lamar Miller. I thought Osweiler, that was one of the best games he's played this year. I mean,
I think it was
they
the should best
have won
game
that game. They dominated the game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And they kind of got screwed. I don't like to go after the refs, but they kind of did. But they also, the O'Brien decision late in the game to go for the – or to punt, I mean – you're asking to lose. He just has no faith in Osweiler at all. DeAndre Hopkins has 2 games above 60 yards all year, not scoring touchdowns anymore. I don't look at this matchup and be like, ooh, this really stands out. Casey Hayward will travel with DeAndre Hopkins. Not a great matchup. C.J. Fedorowicz is the guy right now. I mean, he's the guy for Osweiler. He is their the guy that when Osweiler, when it's 3rd down and 6, Osweiler's looking at C.J. Fedorowicz. And so he's not a great athlete or anything like that, but his targets have been consistent. His receptions have been consistent. He hasn't had a touchdown in a while, but, I mean, that should come. Lamar Miller, I was a little bit concerned about him after the last game, because they were using a lot of Alfred Blue and a lot of Akeem Hunt. But this past game, I mean, Lamar Miller took it back. He had some great runs. He's playing the passing game again. He was 75% of the snaps. I like to see him hitting long runs, because that's not something that we've seen Lamar Miller do a lot this year. And that's something that Lamar Miller always did in Miami. So that was good to see. And then the Chargers lost their nose tackle, Brandon Mebane, to a torn biceps, which will end his season. That's a huge loss for San Diego, which really got its run defense turned around from last year. But now that may be a liability. So things are looking up for Lamar Miller, at least this week.
That's a good point. What about for the Chargers offensively in this game?
So there are a lot of – like last week we saw 3 games that people were really worried about the weather. This is a game that's going to be at Reliant Stadium and in the Dome. So you don't have to worry about weather with these guys. And I think that that's always something that we should mention late in the season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're starting Ben Roethlisberger against the Browns. You're like, oh man, he's going to rip it up. And he does nothing because the weather affects the game plan, but you don't have to worry about that with the Chargers. So it's not, you know, it's not like, ooh, this is a cupcake matchup. You know, the Texans have a good D. Derek Carr came away with a lot of fantasy points in the last game, but a lot of it came on just run after catch stuff, like that Jamiz Olawale touchdown. You know, I wouldn't say that he like lit up the Texans, and nobody really lights up the Texans. But I think that Phillip Rivers is a solid start. You also have the impact of them coming back from Mexico on the short week after just being so tired on the field. Tyrell Williams has crushed it in each of his last four games, not against Denver. I think that he's a strong start. Antonio Gates, he has a touchdown in three straight games. And I think that he's a strong start, even though the matchup is not ideal. Hunter Henry has become more of a bit player. He was 33% snaps in the Chargers pre-bye loss to Miami. And he's just not getting the targets anymore. He's going to be a good player. He's just not a guy that you can use in fantasy right now. And with Travis Benjamin, this is the approach that I'm going to take with Travis Benjamin because he was dealing with a PCL injury before the bye week. If we see him play a lot and look good in this game, then I'll use him. You know, I'll want to use him against Tampa Bay next week. But I'm probably not going to use him this week unless I'm really desperate.
San Francisco's at Miami, Evan. And I'm curious, from a Dolphins perspective, you know, how much of what happened last week do you just put on the weather and the Rams defense? Or is there any, you know, room for concern with some of these O-line issues they've got now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the O-line thing is a little concerning. Tunsil is supposed to be fine. I guess we're not gonna see Pouncey back for a while. It seems like, although he's a tough dude, and he like every time he gets injured, he beats the timetable. Albert, have you heard anything on him?
No, I have not.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I still think that their game plan is going to be real, real clear. You know, they had packages last week where they had three tight ends on the field. And they're facing the worst run defense in the league. So they're going to do what they do. And Jay Ajayi he should absolutely crush this. He should absolutely crush this. The 49ers have given up multiple touchdown passes in seven of their last eight games. I've gotten myself in trouble wanting to use Tannehill in some spots. I have a hard time trusting him. The matchup is awesome for him too. You know, when you face the 49ers, the number of snaps that you play skyrockets, and the defense is weak. And they just lost Eric Reed, probably their best safety. So the matchup is good. I just, you know, Tannehill, he's probably not an upside play, but we could see him coming out and having a big game. The 49ers this year have really struggled to defend big wide receivers. I mean, Mike Evans crushed them. Kelvin Benjamin crushed them. Justin Hunter, Bryce Butler, Terrence Williams all scored touchdowns against them. They don't have a lot of size in the secondary. And I like this matchup for Devontae Parker a lot. And Devontae Parker has started to play real well lately. So I think that he's in a really good spot. And his targets have been on like an upward ascent. And his snaps have been as well. Jarvis Landry, I think that – all right, so the 49ers slot corner is Jimmy Ward. and he has a concussion. So I don't know if he's going to play this week, but if he doesn't play, Jarvis Landry is in a really good spot against the 49ers.
All right, and then wrapping things up with the early games, it's the Los Angeles Rams against the New Orleans Saints. And I guess we'll start with, you know, the Rams offense now that you got a chance to see Goff for a week and what that means for, you know, Kenny Britt owners, anybody like that, even Todd Gurley owners moving forward.
Not good. Not good. he had five. He had 34 attempts last week. Five of them went beyond 10 yards. And I think four of those occurred really, really late in the game. So, you know, no pass catcher finishes above 50 yards. I don't want to use any Rams pass catchers. I don't care who they're playing. Todd Gurley, same old story. You know, hoping that he gets a lot of volume and maybe gets lucky and scores a touchdown. And, you know, hasn't really mattered what teams he has played this year. It's the same story over and over again.
Saints, you scared off by the Rams defense for anybody?
No, not at all. Not at all. Drew Brees in every single home game this year has been a top 10 fantasy quarterback. That includes games against Denver and Seattle. He's a machine, man. And I mean, he's been good on the road this year too. The pass catchers, you know, trying to figure out which guy is going to have a huge game in a given week can be difficult. The answer when they're at home is usually Brandon Cooks. He has scored 14 of his 19 career touchdowns in home games. This year he's averaging almost 100 yards per game at home. That is including a game against Atlanta where he had 13 yards, just got shut down by Desmond Trufant. So he's had big games at home, and he is usually the answer. Fleener scored a touchdown last week. You know, he's going to help you if he scores a touchdown, and he's going to hurt you if he doesn't. You know, he's one of those tight ends. Michael Thomas talked about last week how, you know, Sean Payton can do things like bench guys for mistakes. Michael Thomas had two fumbles in the previous game. He was back out there with the starters playing 80% of the snaps. So love to see that. And he was good in the game. I think he caught all five of his targets for 68 yards against Carolina. And he's an every week starter in season long leagues. The running back situation, we got to see if Mark Ingram comes back from the concussion. Tim Hightower is really good against Carolina. I think that entering this game, especially if Mark Ingram misses any practice time, I think Hightower is going to be the 1A, and then they'll mix in Ingram. It's a hot hand situation, but I think right now I'm valuing Tim Hightower over Mark Ingram for week 12.
Got it. All right, Evan, let's get to the late games here in part two. Seattle is at Tampa Bay. How about famous Jameis Winston, Mike Evans in Kansas City? Can they do it again against the Seahawks at home?
Jameis, early in the season, I remember people were talking about him as like an MVP candidate, and he was just real up and down, man, like early in the year. But he's really got it under control. I think that Dirk Koetter kind of, you know, having those few weeks where he really emphasized the running game, like almost to a fault, with like backup running backs off the street, may have had some sort of like calming effect on their offense. And getting back Doug Martin, you know, their leader, certainly can't hurt. Jameis has come through in difficult matchups. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback at Arrowhead. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback against the Bears, who have played pretty solid pass D this year. And now he is facing a Seattle defense that is coming across the country for a 1 p.m. Eastern time game where the Seahawks historically do not play nearly as well. or no, it's not a 1 p.m. Eastern time game, but they are coming across the country. And they're going to be missing Earl Thomas, who has a hamstring injury. I don't think Michael Bennett is going to be back this week. And it looks like they're going to be without Deshaun Shedd, who also has a hamstring injury. I don't think any of those guys are going to play. So the Jameis is facing really a shell of the defense that he normally would be facing, and it's in a pretty good spot from a Bucs perspective. Like, it would not shock me if the Bucs won this game. I'll be interested to see how the game goes, because on paper it looks like there's high scoring potential. We're going to see Richard Sherman on Mike Evans a lot. Mike Evans has also come through against Patrick Peterson, and he came through big against Desmond Trufant. So, you know, starting him in season long, a little bit wary of him in DFS, but I mean, I think the Bucks will be able to score some points here against Seattle.
All right, let's get to another late game. It's the Jets and the Patriots. I don't even know what's interesting about this game. Is there anything interesting about this game? I know we're trying to focus on the one interesting thing about each one of the. I mean, Fitzpatrick starting. I guess that's interesting that they let Bryce Petty start for a game and now Fitzpatrick's back.
Well, I like this game a lot in fantasy. I think that the Jets show up this week. I think that they give the Patriots a surprisingly tough challenge, at least for a few quarters. You know, two or three quarters. But I think that they'll show up, man. I mean, the Patriots defense is weak. It's really weak. And it lost Alan Branch, who was one of the best run-stuffing defensive tackles in the league. He's leading the Patriots in defensive tackle snaps played. He's a mammoth of a man. And the Jets are coming off their bye. Mangold should be back. I think that Matt Forte should have opportunities in this game to rip off some good runs. And Matt Forte was looking really good before the bye week. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been horrible in road games since the Jets signed him. He's been horrible all year this year. But his stats historically at home as a Jet are far significant or far superior to his statistics on the road. And it's just a weak Patriots defense. I mean, everybody's getting fantasy production against the Patriots at this point. So I don't think that the Jets will struggle to move the ball. And then on the Patriots side, I mean, I expected the Patriots to throw the ball like 50 times against the Seahawks 2 weeks ago. They did not do that. And, I mean, I think that it pretty much cost them the game. I don't think that they're going to make that mistake again. I mean, I think that they're going to come out throwing the ball against the Jets, because that's how you beat the Jets. So I would expect elevated target totals for all their pass catchers. I would expect a big game from Brady. I think that Gronk is going to be back. That's something that we may not know, you know, until later. But this is a good spot for the Patriots passing offense. These games, even though they set up well for the passing game, LeGarrette Blount is money every single game. He'll get goal line carries, he'll get clock killing carries. And, I mean, I don't think it's any time to turn away from LeGarrette Blount, even though the Jets have, like, the second-best run defense in the league.
Carolina is in Oakland to take on the Raiders, Evan. I'm going to be at that game. We saw the Raiders Monday night. They really did not run the ball all that well.
No. Nope.
They really didn't look that great, quite frankly, till the end of the game. Now they're going against the Carolina defense, though. It has some issues of its own. I highly doubt Luke Kuechly plays. What's of interest or of note to you in this one?
Well, you know, the Raiders were another team coming off the bye and, like, playing below expectation.
Yeah, we got to just forget about the bye from now on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe even consider it a negative. I'm gonna do some research into that after this year. or in the offseason for sure. And we'll talk about it on the show. So I love this spot for the Raiders passing offense. Crabtree had a horrible game on Monday night. I mean, I have never seen him play that bad in a game ever. Even during his worst moments in San Francisco, I've never seen him play that bad. And it wouldn't surprise me if they come out and, like, feed him a few targets early in the game to get him going. He does have a pretty difficult matchup against James Bradbury, going to run most of his routes against James Bradbury, the Panthers' stud rookie. But, I mean, you know, he's a veteran, and I think he comes out and has, like, a 5-6-7 catch game. That's usually what Michael Crabtree does. I think that Amari Cooper has been a spiked weak player this year. It's been kind of hit or miss with him. This past game was, you know, his only real game where he's just been kind of middle of the road. It's either been all or nothing almost with Amari Cooper. And I think that this is an all game. I think that he should really, really rip this one up. Awesome play in fantasy. Same with Derek Carr. Latavius, yeah, I was so disappointed in the Raiders running game. But he still had 17 touches, and he got you, like, you know, 12 points or even more if you're in full PPR. And he's had touch totals of 20, 16, 21, and 17 since coming back from that turf toe injury. So his usage is reliable. The Panthers, I would be shocked if Luke Kuechly plays. The last two opponents to face the Panthers have run on them all right. So, I mean, Latavius Murray is a committee back, but he's the lead back in the committee. His usage is dependable. He's a home favorite running back against a defense that is good against the run, but will be missing – likely be missing its middle linebacker.
Let's get to the night games, the primetime games. Kansas City, Evan, is in Denver. They flex this game. Broncos coming off a bye. Chiefs coming off a really disappointing all-around performance where Jameis Winston and the Bucs were 11 of 16 on third down. Do you think that this could be a good game for Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, yep, it definitely could. It definitely could. By the way, I was listening to Mike Lombardi's podcast with Bill Simmons, and he also mentioned the fact that the team's coming off the bye. I mean, you know, there's definitely a possibility that they underperform. You know, they have 4 days away from the team, right?
Well, it depends on what the coach does schedule-wise, but yeah, it can be more than that, it can be less than that. They definitely have several days away from the team.
Yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked. What game is this?
Chiefs Broncos Sunday night.
Yeah. So I do think that Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders both are in pretty good situations. I would think that Marcus Peters is back this week, but we'll see. I mean, the hit pointers can be tricky. Devontae Booker, even though there was some beat writer speculation that Capri Bibbs would have a bigger role, Devontae Booker has maintained that role, you know, that feature back, featured usage role. And the Chiefs have not been great against the run all year. I mean, they have issues in run defense. So, you know, again, team coming off the bye, their O-line should be healthy. But, you know, sometimes it can be a negative that the team is coming off the bye. What you can count on, I think, with Devontae Booker is the workload in a team that is on a team that is going to be committed to the run and is going to be in positive game script. And because their defense just eats you alive. So I think Devontae Booker is a strong fantasy play against Kansas City. And we've also seen teams run on Denver. So Spencer Ware, man, he was disappointing last week. And it wasn't even necessarily his fault. It was, they had three separate goal line series, the Chiefs did. On the first one, they run a jet sweep with Travis Kelce, and he loses 5 yards. On the next one, Alex Smith throws a pick, from the 6-yard line. On the third one, Spencer Ware runs it down to the 1-yard line, and then he gets stuffed on the next carry, and then they throw it to Albert Wilson for the touchdown. So Spencer Ware, he was so close to having three touchdowns, but he had none, and he pretty much stunk in fantasy. So that was that's really frustrating, but that's how the game goes, you know. I don't know if we got anything else interesting here.
No, last game, Green Bay, Philadelphia. Let's start with the Eagles going against the Packers defense, which I think we just have to now acknowledge, Evan, it's just terrible. I mean, it's everybody torches them. So the question is, do the Eagles have the receivers to torch the Packers? Who gets the numbers against this Packers D for the Eagles, if anybody?
I think that I would say that the 49ers defense is worse and the Browns defense is worse. Maybe. But I mean that's the category that the Packers are in right now. I think that it sets up really well for Jordan Matthews. I think that it sets up well for Zach Ertz. It's just that the Eagles love to run the ball and play ball control under Doug Peterson. And, I mean, this is something that Andy Reid, you know, and Doug Peterson is an Andy Reid disciple. Andy Reid has a history of doing this. It's just that Ryan Matthews is – I would be shocked if he plays, you know, MCL sprain. Darren Sproles apparently is expected to play, even though he has a rib injury and did not return to last week's game. It looks like it should be the Wendell Smallwood show. And hopefully we will find out more about this situation as the week progresses. But I would expect a lot of Wendell Smallwood, a little bit of Darren Sproles, and a little bit of Kenyon Barner against the Packers. I mean, Wendell Small was the number one pickup in off fantasy waiver wires this week. And I think that there's a chance that he gets he had a game, I think, where he got 17 carries. I think it was I can't remember. It was earlier in the season. I want to say against Pittsburgh, maybe. Yeah. So, you know, they've shown a willingness to give him a pretty sizable workload. So he's going to be a good fantasy play against a bad defense.
All right, what about the Packers
going
against the Eagles D? You got anything interesting to say there?
I think that we know that – well, it'll be interesting to see now how the Packers offense – which has been really up and down, even though it's been putting up a lot of fantasy stats, will start to fare against legitimate defenses. And now they're on the road in Philadelphia. I mean, they've faced a lot of cupcakes recently. So how will they fare? I mean, they really just don't have a running game right now. And so it ends up being Aaron Rodgers getting all the yards, and that makes him incredible in fantasy. The matchups are good on the outside for the Packers receivers, for Jordy and for Davante Adams. The Eagles cornerbacks are nothing to worry about. Liotis McKelvin had a concussion this past week. Jalen Mills, the rookie, I guess, is a player that the Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz is real high on. But I mean, this guy gives up a big play every week. You know, last week he gets burned by Doug Baldwin for a 44-yard gain. I think that's pretty much all I have to say. James Starks is going to be usable, I think, for the foreseeable future. The Packers are saying that they want to get Christian Michael ready to play this week, but I don't know how much he plays. I think that it'll it'll be primarily James Starks, some Ty Montgomery, and maybe they'll give C. Mike like 3 or 4 carries.
Evan, unbelievable stuff as always. Have a terrific Thanksgiving, my friend, with your family, friends, whoever you're getting together with. And if you choose to place a little wager on the games, Thanksgiving game or anything this weekend, make sure you go to betdsi.com and use the promo code Tucker15. You get 15 free bucks to bet the NFL. Or hey, you want to bet NHL, you want to bet you can't bet Major League Baseball. You want to bet NBA, you want to bet college football. A lot of good college football games this weekend. It's always fun to make games a little more interesting. You don't have to put much money on it, just a little bit of money on it. Or better yet, use somebody else's money. Use code Tucker15 and you'll get $15 free, courtesy of BetDSI.com and this here podcast, the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Again, BetDSI.com. Use that code Tucker15. That'll do it for part one and part two of the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast. Just want to tell each and every one of you how much we all, me, Evan, our producer Brian, appreciate and are thankful for your listenership each and every week, that you say, you know what, I'm going to devote an hour plus of my time to listening to Ross and Evan talk fantasy football. It's awesome. Hopefully we help you out, and hopefully you guys are thankful for the knowledge that we drop and the advice we try to give as well. I sincerely mean it when I hope each and every one of you has an excellent, excellent holiday. And hopefully you all feel like that you have a lot to be thankful for. I know I do. That'll do it. Spread the word via social media, iTunes rankings, comments, Amazon, PayPal. You guys know the deal. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
You know, it's interesting because I think this time of year, Thanksgiving, everybody gets a chance to recognize how thankful they are and how appreciative they are. And you realize that hopefully you're rich in a lot of ways. And I don't mean the money part of it. I mean, you know, you're rich in terms of your relationships. You're rich with your family and the time you're able to spend with them. But there's also trying to be rich, period, or at least being financially secure. And one way you can do that is richuncles.com. It's a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust. If you're not familiar, they own commercial property, collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants, and then pay out a monthly cash dividend, currently 7% annualized dividend. Not too shabby. Like any investment, it has risk. It's not guaranteed, so make sure you check it out. Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering at richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES. Make sure you tell them that you heard about it from a podcast.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.